Amen. Appreciate him very much. And very thankful for the work that God is doing through him. And we'll continue to pray and believe the Lord to do an even greater work. Praise God. Amen. Come preach, Brother Farmer.
Thank you, Pastor. Love you. Give the Lord a hand clap and praise today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a second. I felt the leading of the Lord to just say a couple things before I get into my message. And one is I want to honor my pastor and his beautiful wife. And this man has been foundational to me here in Alaska. And I've had a lot of questions. I needed a lot of help, and I know where to turn. And I just want him to know I love him and thank him. God's doing a great work up north, but it's not one man doing it. We got the Abbots sitting here on the second pew, who was very, very huge in the building process of the church there. I don't know if I've ever publicly thanked you, Brother Abbott and Sister Abbott, for your labor and of love and for helping that ministry up there, but thank you. Thank you. And the Walkers. The Walkers come up and put the finishing touches on and stuff and covered up things that should needed to be covered up, and I just love them and appreciate them so much, and I love you, Brother Walker, and appreciate you. Yeah. I want to mention a few other folks. I want to thank the Villas tonight for taking care of Brother Lamas. Brother Lamas has been an impact on the North Region. And unless he has a home base, then he can't do that. And I've heard for years about your guys' sacrifice to help him. And I just want you to know the Lord sees, and the rest of us do too. And thank you. And a few years ago, I met this long-lost Texan that was running around with another friend of mine, Brother Churchill, and Brother Churchill introduced me to Brother Murphy, and the Lord spoke to me, and he says, he's going to be your friend. And sometimes it takes years to develop relationships, but it took me and him about 30 seconds. And I just love being around him and his wife, and if you've never heard him preach, you need to go hear him preach. Oh, you should. He has never preached here? I should sit down and let him do this tonight. I'll even give him my notes, because he'll say I don't have any notes. But I believe in Brother Murphy, and I just love him, and I want him to know that. And my sister. Oh, my goodness. I'm so, so, so proud of her. And she told me, she says that she wadded up all of her pants and going through her dresser drawers. And she says, I don't know why I'm keeping this stuff. And she put all of her pants in a sack and got rid of them. And it's only taken 10 years. But God is awesome, isn't he? Woo! I was teaching in Norvik one night, and I heard some of the ladies were out bringing in the nets of the fish and everything, and they were wearing some things and not dresses over them, and And so they were out there, and of course the community's out there and all that. And so I heard about that. And so anyway, I was teaching one night there in Norvik, and I asked them, the group, I says, what do you think about an alcoholic that's been delivered by God, that God has rescued out of this terrible disease and his addiction and delivered him, but yet they keep this jug of booze way back in the cupboard just for emergencies. See? So what do you think about that? Hi, Brother Mike. God bless you. And I go, oh, no, Pastor, that's not good. And so I said, what do you think about an ex-druggie that's been delivered from drugs? You're looking at one here. That an ex-pot smoker and bootlegger and all that stuff. And he keeps this little bit of dope back in the hidden drawer somewhere. And just in case. What do you think about that, guys? And they go, oh, no, Pastor, no, Pastor. No, that's not good. And I said, well, what do you think about a lady that's been completely delivered, filled with the Holy Ghost, and has a holy vision of God, but yet she keeps some Levi's in the bottom dresser of her dresser? What do you think about that? I got quiet, just like it did right here. But anyway, I love them people up there. And you know, God does not expect us to be perfect immediately. I don't know if he ever expects us to be perfect. I know Paul expects us to be perfect. But God's mercy, the older I get, Brother Murphy, God's mercy, not his grace. People get that confused. But God's mercy is, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. God's mercy is so awesome.
Oh, hallelujah.
Because we can make mistakes. We can do stupid stuff, Brother Zach. You know, I mean, you're not looking at a perfect man. I've done stupid things, and God's mercy has left me a space of repentance and to get back and get right and say, God, I'm sorry. And he goes, good. You know, a righteous man will fall several times, but he'll get back up and he'll go again and he'll try again. Amen. Now that's, mercy is not receiving something that we should receive. That's what mercy, that's not grace. That's mercy. That's what God does for us. He does that for all of us. Amen. The grace is something different. The world has taken grace and twisted it to disgrace. They have. I would like you to pull up Titus 2:11 and 2:12. 2:11 first. This is, you get this one for free tonight. It's not in my notes. But I want to share this with you. The grace of God, listen, it brings salvation to all. Right?
Right.
Grace of God. But what is grace? Well, here's a biblical definition of grace. Look at verse 12. The first three words teaching us that. Grace is a teacher. See, Jesus came, he come full of grace and truth. Why? Because he's teaching truth. That's not mercy. Grace teaches us that deny ungodliness. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect and do it all the time. Okay? Well, there's other things. Thank you for putting that up. You can take that down. There's other things that grace teaches us. And I've come on a mission tonight to teach something by grace. This is teaching. Okay? And it's something that the Lord has just showed me. It's changing the way I think the importance of things that we do. And I want to share it with you. If you would mind standing for the reading of the word in honor of the word. We don't stand because of the pastor or the speaker. We stand because the scripture teaches it to stand. It also teaches about a pulpit. Did you know that this was a pulpit? You know what a pulpit does? It pulls people from the pit. It's a pulpit. All right? All right. Well, some grace is going to come across this pulpit tonight, and it's not God's forgiveness. It's God's teaching. Do you get that? Okay, teaching. Luke 10, starting at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And in whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. So the title of this thing is a question to you. How do you know that you're close to the kingdom of God? How do you know you're in the right place? How do you know you're in the right church? How do you know you're with the right group? How do you know? Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for this presence that I feel tonight. I'm so glad that you're here with me. I pray, God, that you, God, would direct my thoughts and my words and my voice. And God, that you would use this vessel, God, that you've had mercy on, Lord. Oh, God, that you would come forth tonight, Lord, and speak in such a way, Lord, that we would comprehend the grace that you are giving us tonight, the teaching, God. And I pray this in the precious name, Jesus Christ. I want you to shake hands with somebody close to you and tell them, you look real good tonight. I want you to do that.
You look real good tonight.
Thank you for that dinner. Yeah.
Should I just get one of the boys? And that's fine. So how do you know? Say, how do you know? You know, people, any group of people can call themselves a church. But let me tell you something. Walmart's got a crowd. Just because you got a crowd and a huge group of people doesn't mean you're close to the kingdom of God. That's not how you judge that. You judge by the matching of the word, what the word that comes from behind the pulpit, how it matches the word in the scripture. And then, does God fulfill his word See, this stuff isn't just supposed to be taught and preached without fulfillment. I'm not up here to tickle your ears tonight. I'm not up here to try to make you go, wow. I'm sure I'm not up here trying to make the Lord go, wow.
Wow, farmer, I never knew that about myself.
No. I'm going to tell you right now my mission statement. I want to try and bring you to the place where you will let God move. I'm headed there. I'm going to go there. It would be a lot easier for us to get there if I didn't have to drag you. And that's what I want to hear. If you agree with what I'm saying, I'm looking for an amen. Okay? Amen. So, the Lord appointed 70 also. And it's interesting to me, Brother Zach, that he sent these people, the Bible says, before his face, before Jesus went somewhere, before Jesus showed up. Oh, come on now. I tell you, he sent somebody, right? To what? Just tell them about Jesus? No. He said, I'm sending you to heal the sick. And then I'm telling you to tell them, because this has happened, the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. So nigh, you know, that means has approached you. It's at a hand. It's come near to you. It's drawing close to you. The kingdom of God. Now, we're all trying to make it in the kingdom. But when the kingdom of God is drawing close to you, he's trying to get you in the kingdom. You're just not trying to beat on the door and let me in. No, he is drawing. He is calling. Amen. Hallelujah. I like to explain the Gospels as four different stories of the same story by four different men. So you got to mix these together to get the full truth of what's going on. In Luke 9, 1 and 2, he says he called the 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all devils. Now listen, not just over some of them. All. And they all received the Holy Ghost. And they all were baptized. And they all were healed. Look it up. Amen. Give them a power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. And when you preach the kingdom of God, friend, heal the sick. Heal the sick. Heal the sick. Luke 9:6 says they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Everywhere. That happens before the Lord shows up. Matthew 10:7-8 says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How do you know that? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. This is before Jesus shows up. This is by somebody that God trusts enough that they've already received power and authority over all devils, over all sickness. Mark 6:12-13, and they went out and they preached that men should repent. That's right. They should. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick. I want to point something out here that the Bible does not say. It does not say, and they tried to heal them. No, it says, and they healed them. They went there before the face of the Lord. They went there, sent out, commanded to go, sent on a mission to show people and to make people believers in the miracles of God without Jesus' face being there. How? By deliverance. Let me tell you what I've got. My revelation is, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now all down my shoulders. Listen, if you go through the book of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, and you see Jesus, his birth story, his young time story, right? And then he starts his ministry, and then he turns the water into wine, and he starts his miracle series, and then all of a sudden he starts healing people. It ain't clear to the back of that book, whether it is Matthew, Mark, or Luke, that you start learning about baptism, and you start learning about being filled with the Holy Ghost. So what's got to come first? You know, I think we get this thing a little bit backwards. First thing we want to do is baptize somebody. First thing we want to do, amen, is get somebody full of the Holy Ghost. Well, I got a question, Pastor. Why have I baptized so many, and there's hundreds of them, and they're not serving God today? Why has half of them got the Holy Ghost, and they're not serving God today? Why am I serving God today? Let me tell you what happened to me before I ever got baptized and I ever got the Holy Ghost. I had a miracle in my life. God touched me. God healed me. God did a miracle for me. He showed me that He was real. Then He says, now, go do this other stuff. And so, I got baptized. And then the Holy Ghost, you know, I seen all these crazy apostolics speaking in tongues. And I'm going, Lord, if this ain't of You, get me out of here. But see, I knew He was real. And even a limited knowledge of Him, I knew I could ask Him and He would not lie to me. Even though I hadn't read that book all the way through, Brother Murphy. So I said, Lord, if this isn't of You, You get me out of this place. But if this is of You, Lord, then I want it. And it came. And there was not a man walking could make this 300-pound biker speak in tongues. God did that. But He did it after I'd been shown a miracle. And after I'd been delivered. Is any sick among you? Let him call from the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Boy, that's part we don't read very often. Let me help you with that. If the Lord heals them, the Lord raises them up, the Lord can forgive them. The Spirit, my Bible tells me the Spirit guides into all truth. We don't got to go, you can't be saved yet because you ain't got baptized and you ain't got the Holy Ghost and you can't have the rest of this scripture. But yet God didn't take it out of there. It's in there. But if the Lord, see, here's the thing. We don't know whether the Lord's going to heal or not. We just know He can because we've seen it. I have laid my hands on people. I've watched tumors fall off. Hearts have been mended. Not because of the authority that God has given me, but the faith. And because God wanted to heal. But He's got to have somebody that's got guts enough that'll stand up and say, hey, if you're sick, get your carcass up here. He's got to be able to send somebody into somebody's life before He shows up. Before Jesus. Yeah. This blood See, this blood that we sang about tonight, this blood, amen, is so powerful. And the first thing we think about is this blood was shed for our sins. Right? Well, guess what? You're only using 1/7 of the power of the blood. You know, 7's God's number, right? We see that in Scripture that the Leviticus priests, they would take blood from the offering and they would go into the Holy of Holies and they would sprinkle the blood 7 times before the Lord. Leviticus. Hebrews 9:11 says this, "But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats, calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having ordained eternal redemption for us." Watch verse 13. "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God to purge your conscience." Listen to this. Okay, he just took the blood up there. Now, I just told you it was only 1/7 of that blood was for sin. From dead works, serving the living God. You see, it's kind of an interesting thing. Jesus sprinkled the blood 7 times. He had a hole in each wrist. That's 2. He had a hole in each ankle or foot. That's 4. He had a spear in his side. That's 5. He had the stripes on his back, which is 6. And he had the thorns on his head, which was 7. Sprinkled. You see, he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. What he required of his priests in the Old Testament, he did himself. 7 times out of 7 places for 7 different things. So when we look through Scripture, we can see and we can read pretty obvious Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was bound," or "he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace." You know that one of them places that he bled from was for your peace? Do you have peace? And then, of course, it says, we all know this one, "And with his stripes, we are healed." It's amazing to me that when you think about Jesus and his cross experience, the Bible calls this his passion. Acts 1:3, "To whom he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs." You see, let me tell you something. Jesus is willing to prove himself. Are you hearing me tonight? Jesus is willing to show up and prove himself. real. Isaiah 52:14 says, many were astonished because his visage was so marred more than any man. You couldn't even recognize it was Jesus. Can you imagine what them thorns on his head, how they enjoyed shoving them down on his head? You think it was just a little crown right above, right up here? No, the Bible says they couldn't recognize him. Now, I can't prove this. This is just conjecture on my part, but it makes sense to me. What's the blood on the head for? Well, I mean, he's went through something so vicious. What do you think that was for? Where does the devil attack us? That blood out of each one of them thorns was shed for your mind, for your thought life, for the things that the devil can only fight you with. He was so marred and so messed up because he wanted to give you every opportunity. His blood was not just for the sin. It was to help you to fight sin. It was to give you something that you could rely on. And that's the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm going to take a few minutes to explain something that Jesus understands, and we need to understand it. And John 4... Jesus goes back, and 4:46, he goes back to Canaan. This is where he did the first miracle. He turned the water into wine. Okay, he goes back there again, and there was a certain nobleman that heard of him. And I can feel this father's heartbeat, amen. He's got a son that was at the point of death, and Jesus is coming back. Oh, my goodness, can he do another miracle? Can he do it again? Fall. Can Jesus do it again? Have you ever seen a miracle? Can he do it again? Have you ever seen him do a miracle? Can he do it again? He's going to do it tonight. He's going to do it tonight. Do you hear me? He's going to move tonight. You know why? Because he wants to move tonight. All he needs is a people ready to let him move. That's all he needs. But he understands what you need. He understands what we need. He understands. Let me prove this to you. This is so cool. So this nobleman, can he do it again? Put John 4:48 up on the screen for me. Look at this. And Jesus said unto him, unto the one that wanted to see the miracle, unless you see the signs and the wonders, so my question tonight is: do you want to see them? Do you want to be part of them? Do you want to let God move? Okay, this is part of believing. If you don't get the signs and the miracles and the wonders, you're not going to believe. I believe that's why we're losing so many people, that we get in here and we baptize. I don't mean just this place. I mean any place, any apostolic church. Amen. And we slave and we give Bible studies to, and we show them the Word of God, and we're so excited to get them in the water, and God fills them with His Spirit, and they come out of the water speaking in tongues, and oh man, and then where are they? He knows, except you see, except the people that we bring see, except the ones that come to this church and come to this altar and come to this place and come to Kayana and come to Norvik or Anchorage. I don't care the place. They got to see. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. The nobleman said, "Sir, I don't know all about that junk, but come down here. My child's going to die." And look at verse 50. Jesus didn't say, "Okay, I'll go with you." He just said, "Go. I know you're not going to believe unless this happens. Just go. Your son's going to live." And the Bible says, "And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him on his way. But as he's going down, his servants met him and said, 'Thy son liveth.'" And then he inquired and he said, "What hour did that happen?" And he said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth. Believe." Bible says this is the second miracle that Jesus did. Second one of many. It's interesting. These 70 that went out, you know, they returned again. And they said, they returned with joy. And they said, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Put these up on there, would you, bro? Luke 17, 18, and 19. Follow me through this. Let me point something out to you. There's some grace coming across tonight, okay? Teaching come across. Luke 10, 17. 18, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Now watch verse 19. I want you to read this. 19. "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Now listen, sometimes the reason that we don't stand up and have somebody sick and I tell you what I do at work. I give God a chance to move. I was walking down the hall the other day, and this lady says, "Oh, would you play for my ankle?" She's walking around like this, and she got it wrapped up. And I said, "Sure." And I pulled my hat off, walked to her, laid my hands on her, asked God to heal her. Then I said, "Now expect it to be better." That's all God needs. You see, some people think that's going to hurt them. Going to make them look bad. God won't move. God, you know, they'll make me a fanatic or something. But I want to show you something in the Word. You see, serpents bite with their head, and scorpions bite with their tail. And you know what God's saying? Saying, "Heads or tails, we win." Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter which way the devil's coming at you. Heads or tails, you win. Heads or tails. And nothing is going to hurt you. Stand up, amen. I give you power. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. All the power. So how do you know that the kingdom of God is close to you? There's issues in this building tonight. Some of you need a physical healing. Some of you need the blood of Jesus applied where you never thought it was coming from before and what it was for. Some of you have issues with your mind. It doesn't matter. Don't think some of us have issue with sin. Well, there's blood enough for that too, but just a seventh of it. See, most sin has to do with healing, addictions, don't care what the addiction. Can't control your own temper. You know, the hardest person in this world to control is this guy right here, is me. But my Bible tells me that a man that can't control his own spirit is like a city without walls. So how do we do that? Well, we apply the blood to our mind. Stand with me. Let me read you another little scripture here. Listen to me real close. This is for you. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Listen to me. The believers do not follow the signs. The signs follow the believers that are not afraid. You understand, nothing can hurt you. Nothing. I don't care if it bites from the head, from the tail. You have power over all. But if you got something bothering you tonight, I want all of you to think about this. I'm going to ask Brother Glover to come. And Pastor, I want him to grab the oil. And I want you to think about where your problem is and what's holding you up from being a believer. If you got an ailment in your body, I want to know. That blood, he died for that. I tell you what, my Bible tells me freely you have received, freely give. I'm telling you what, I have freely received healings. I have freely received deliverances. I have freely been healed. I believe what I'm preaching tonight. I don't care what is wrong with you, but you need to know. You need to know. Now, we have a great physician that looks down from heaven. And I found this scripture yesterday, Pastor. It's Jeremiah 1 and 2. Let me read it to you. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I hastened my word to perform it. Now, when you read that in the Amplified Bible, it says this, you have seen well, for I am alert and active and watching over my word to perform it. Jesus, right now, is in this place. He is watching and he is hoping he can get somebody not to be afraid and have faith, amen, to pray for somebody that's sick and know that the blood that come from his body out of seven places is enough to fix the problem. But he also needs a person to have guts enough to know, you know what? I need a little of that blood. If you have an ailment in your body, I want you to come up here in a hurry. Now, the rest of you just hang tough and wait a minute. We're gonna pray for everybody here tonight. That's why I didn't preach an hour. Okay? God understands. Listen to me. God understands that you need to see miracles and signs. Brother Zach, are you a believer? You believe God can do this? And get up here and help me. Brother Pelletier, do you believe God can do this? Then get up here and help me. You see, God understands and knows that we need to see. And right now, he is hovering over this place. He is waiting to perform his word. He's waiting to do it. So as we pray, have faith in Jesus' name. Yeah.
Crimson love, the price in life's demand.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Shameful sin, placed on him, the hope of every man. The blood of Jesus washes me. The price in life's demands, shameful sin. Just me. The blood.